Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
In his gospel, Luke gives us exclusive details that magnify Jesus. When we see Jesus magnified, we will be more secure in his love, goodness, grace, and mercy. Join us now as we continue our Jesus magnified study in the Gospel of Luke with Cheryl Broderson.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
Here is part two of Cheryl's message, titled Introduction to Luke.
You know, I have had women say, I like ice cream so much that I won't eat it because I like it too much. Oh, yeah. Don't enjoy it with Jesus. You know, stay away from that. They put themselves under this law. You know, I had one woman that say, she had these ugliest shoes I've ever seen. And I said, wow, those are some shoes. She goes, these are my obedience to God shoes. I said, wow, I never even knew there was such a thing. And she said, yes, because I've been so disobedient. And now I walk every day for Jesus. I'm like, okay, well, I'm a sinner. So I'm still sitting on the couch for Jesus. But you know, this idea, we put ourselves under this law. I've got to do this and I've got to do that for Jesus. And we miss the benefit of grace. That grace is God working through us. The Holy Spirit working through us so that we effortlessly, without all this self-effort, please the Lord, we walk in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit keeps coming out. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Galatians 5:22 becomes the fruit of our lives as we simply get grace and it flows through us. But when we see the Lord only afar off, we lose joy. Oh my goodness, that's one of the first things to go. We become martyrs for the Lord. Yeah, I'm serving the Lord. It's hard. It's tough. Yeah. What about you? What have you given up for Jesus? You know, we do this. We forget about our acceptance in the blood, that we're accepted. We're qualified by Jesus, by the cross. That's the qualifier. Not my performance, not my goodness, not my sacrifices. None of those things. I am qualified by the cross and the cross alone. And we learn this as we magnify Jesus. It becomes all about Jesus. But again, when we see him only at a distance, spirituality becomes a duty rather than a delight, drudgery rather than opportunity, sacrifice rather than investment in the kingdom. We're thinking about what we have to give up instead of being cheerful givers. Well, I have to pay my tithe because I want a blessing. Instead of, I get to invest in what God is doing. I get to invest in lives that God is saving. We neglect or resent reading our Bibles. Ugh, how many questions on this day? And can I do it in 4 minutes or less? I can only say these things because I've been there. Bible study. Oh my goodness, what time does it start again? Prayer. How long is that woman going to go on about her son? Fellowship. Oh, there's going to be women. interaction with other believers, I hope they don't ask me a question and expect me to answer it. Worship, this song again, seriously. That's how it becomes when Jesus is at a distance, and we've all had that. Luke's gospel magnifies Jesus. To magnify is to bring out the details. It's to see what is otherwise hidden or too small to realize or unnoticed. It's to enlarge so that something can be seen for what it is. It's to bring it into focus. It's to put under intense magnification for the sake of understanding, perceiving, seeing, enjoying, benefiting, appreciating. It's to bring out into the open or the light, and that's what Luke's gospel does. It magnifies Jesus. It brings out the details. I'm going to warn you, this is the longest of all the gospels. There are four gospels. This is the longest one. And chapter one is the longest chapter in the New Testament. Welcome to Joyful Life. So worth it, though. Luke cites places and politicians, people who were close to Jesus, parables Jesus told, particular situations. This is what you'll find as Luke magnifies Jesus. Luke says in Luke 1:4 that his purpose in writing this gospel was to show the certainty of the things that we've believed, the absoluteness, the trustworthiness of everything we believe. He addressed this gospel and the book of Acts to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus, besides being the awfulest name you ever heard, means lover of God. The context and the Greek implies that this man, Theophilus, was a man of great social standing, but a believer. Church tradition has that Theophilus actually underwrote or paid for the costs of Luke to write this gospel. And he wanted this gospel in order to give it to his Gentile friends that they might be saved, that they might know the certainty of Jesus. Let me just say this. Jesus is a historical reality. He's attested to by both secular historians and biblical historians. We have four gospels. Do you think there's a reason for that? And each gospel is just a little bit different to bring out the details that Jesus might be magnified. You see, the gospel, the word itself means good news. Jesus didn't come with edicts and regulations or even an enhancement of like, I saw that you weren't keeping the law. No, he came with the good news that he is the Son of God, would keep the law for you and die for you that you might enter into all his blessings. This is good news. And Luke wrote to let the Gentile world know the certainty of this good news. Luke is believed to be a Gentile himself. Perhaps he was a Hellenized Jew, a secular Jew. We know, according to Colossians 4:14, that he was a physician, a doctor. Paul calls him the beloved physician. He was interested, therefore, in details, always wanting to know the cause behind the symptoms. He was one who scrutinized and studied. And he tells us that he set out an orderly account. Luke's gospel is the only gospel that is chronological. Now, there is some chronological order to the other gospels, but Luke set out a chronological order to Jesus' life. Hebrew writers, Jewish writers, were more interested in grouping the same ideas together, or grouping events together that all kind of focused on the same theme. So they were very thematic. But Luke is writing more as a Gentile because this gospel is going to go to Gentiles. So he's got a historical and chronological order to it. That's why he starts with the birth of Jesus. and goes all the way to, you know, Jesus on the Emmaus Road with the disciples and ascension into heaven. Luke tells us that he investigated. We're told that he interviewed. I mean, you've got an interview with Elizabeth, probably talking about her husband, Zacharias, all that went on. You've got a firsthand account of Mary, maybe even a shepherd that was at the site, because he talks in detail about the shepherds leaving and praising God for the things that they had seen. You've got accounts from different people that Luke gathered and interviewed to verify the gospel accounts. So there is also verification. Luke also documented the time by citing political leaders, the laws, and edicts at that time. In Luke chapter 2, it begins with when Quirinius was governor of Syria. An edict went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This happened when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so he gives you the time. It's interesting, just on a side note, there were those critics of the Bible that said Quirinius, it doesn't match up with the time that Luke says with Jesus, because we believe that Jesus was born in about 3 BC. And it doesn't match up, because this is when Quirinius was governor of Syria. It was somewhere around 10 BC. But then we find out, they found out through an archaeological dig, they found a stone that talked about Quirinius's rule, and they found that he came back to rule over Syria a second time, right at the time when the edict went out from Caesar Augustus. This was the second edict that all the world should be taxed. I mean, Luke brings such a verification to these things, and archaeologists have found Luke to be the most credible resource for them to know what they're seeing and the time element. It's just amazing. He, more than any other gospel writer, gives you the location or the where it happened. He gives you a geographical place. He tells you about towns and roads and cities and regions, stables and houses, where these things took place. He explains Jewish customs with Jewish customs and Aramaic terms using Greek words so that Gentiles can understand. So he gives an explanation of some of these traditions and rituals so we can understand exactly what Jesus is fulfilling. Luke wrote this gospel before he wrote the book of Acts, putting this gospel somewhere between 10, could even be earlier, 10 to 25 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Luke was able to get these eyewitness accounts from those who saw Jesus, heard Jesus, walked with Jesus, were related to Jesus, and knew Jesus intimately, heard Jesus. In Luke 1:46 through 55, Luke records what has come to be known as Mary's Magnificat. It is a song of or psalm of praise, and it extols God's goodness, God's great plan, God's faithfulness. And it begins with this phrase, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's exactly what we want to do this year at Joyful Life. Bringing back David in Psalm 34:3, he says, "Let's magnify the Lord together." There is something that happens when we magnify the Lord together. And I know we can magnify the Lord alone and we can get these revelations. Sometimes heaven opens up and it's awesome. But if you can bring that time to Joyful Life and share it with your group, then everybody gets edified. Everyone is able to magnify the Lord. Now, I know when I go to like a museum or I look at a painting, I minored in art history, that sometimes I'll miss something. And somebody, a friend, will point that out and say, "Did you know this?" For instance, Charles I, the King of England, he was so short. You're going to want to know this. That he always had his picture taken with Palomino ponies so he would look bigger. And he's the one who developed the King Charles the Cavalier That's a mix between a Cocker Spaniel and a Springer Spaniel, because Springer Spaniels were the hunting dog kind of England, but he made them smaller so he would look larger in all the pictures. And so there's little details that I've had people point out to me about King Charles and about his portrait that used to hang in the auditorium of the Westminster City School that we used for our fellowship. And you can look at a painting, but if an artist comes, or somebody who studied art, they start pointing out details. And you know what? Your appreciation of the artist is enriched. You're like, oh my goodness. If they start pointing out to you the angles or the perspective, you know, sometimes you look at these paintings, and it wasn't until the Venetian artists that they started painting folds in clothing and showing the crinkle. I mean, to me, that just, when I see those folds and curtains and the richness, it's just, oh my goodness, this artist is amazing. But as you begin to see the details, your appreciation for the artist, for his work, for his talent, for even his subject matter, is enhanced and enriched. So this year at Joyful Life, we want to magnify the Lord together. We want to take notes of the details of Jesus' ministry. We want to enlarge our vision of Jesus. We want to bring Jesus into focus, and we want to see Jesus, really see Jesus, not a cursory glance, but a study, an examination, a scrutiny. As we magnify Jesus together, he will intensify insignificance in our lives. We will grow in appreciation of his artistry. And as we magnify Jesus and he's seen in his magnificence, we will be more secure, secure in his love, secure in his goodness, secure in his grasp, secure in his grace, secure in his mercy. We will grow more dependent on Jesus. We will wait on him longer. We will wait on him. We will wait for him. We won't want to move without him. We will desire him more. We will recognize his presence with us. We will acknowledge him in all our ways and let him direct our paths. We will look to him for all our needs and blessings and power and strength. We will begin to truly live and enjoy the blessings that God has made accessible and available to us through Jesus and even wants us to have. We will enjoy the forgiveness of sins, grace for our failures, hope in our trials, comfort in our hardship, joy in our lives, and expectation in his work. We will grow and be strengthened in faith, because faith is really holding on to Jesus. And faith grows as it is fed, like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. But as it is fed, it will become a tree in our lives that others will come and rest in the shade of. We will invest more in Jesus. We will trust him more. We will want to give more and more to Jesus, more of the situations, more of our burdens. We will want to just give it to Jesus. People, problems, our joys even. We will want to grow, and we will grow in our knowledge of God the Father, and in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he's like. Our spiritual activity will become an overflow of our lives. Our desires will change. Old habits will fall away, and new disciplines will take their place. We will have excitement and zeal and passion in our spiritual lives. We will enjoy fellowship. And the insights we receive and the details we find about Jesus we'll want to talk about to anybody and everybody. Watch yourself at the market. Prayer will become a lifestyle, a go-to, an absolute. I have found myself where prayer is just, well, Kathy does it too. Sorry, Kathy Gilbert. She's going to go under the bus with me right now. But it's like you'll be talking and the problem will get so bad. Kathy and I both do this. We just start praying. It's like I'll be talking to Kathy and I'm like, oh, we're praying. Or I'll be talking to her and she's kind of like, oh, we're praying. Because we're just like, we're going to give it to Jesus right then. You know, if we're talking about a friend's prodigal, Lord, you know what's going on with him. Because you know what? You get to the end of talking and you don't know the answers, but we can pray right then and just give it to Jesus. Lord, you see, you know, we want your work in this. We want the divine to come in. That's what's going to happen. And you will become more aware of God working and moving in your life because you'll recognize him, because you've been watching him, you've been scrutinizing, you've been studying him. So you will recognize his work more readily. This is the Lord. Like Jacob, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. You will say, surely the Lord is in this place right now, right here. And prayer will become such a delight. You will hear his voice more clearly answering you in prayer, speaking to you, giving you a perspective, giving you a plan. So let's magnify the Lord together this year. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's study the Gospel of Luke. Do the lesson. You know what? If it gets too long, skip the question. Skip the question. That's all right. You're under grace. You could skip the question. You could go back later. You could even answer it in group because you like her answer better than anything you would have come up with. You can do this lesson with friends. You can say, let's get together at Starbucks or Pete's or Coffee Bean or Hidden House or Portola and let's, or any other coffee shop or Calvary Chapel, let's get together and let's do this. Let's just do day three together for fun. And I just come up corporately with it. You could do it with your husband. Men love answering questions and having all the answers. You know that. You can do it and then meditate. Think about it. Think about it all day. Write down your favorite thing. Open it up and go, this was my favorite thing. And then come to the groups. Talk about your discoveries. Hear the discovery of others. Answer questions. Ask questions. Testify about what Jesus has done for you. And then worship. Let's magnify the Lord for who he is and what he is. Oh, what a depth that will bring to our worship and our time. Like Mary, the praise will just flow out like Zechariah. We won't be able to hold it in. Our mouths will open and it'll just flow forth. And we will listen to the Bible study that it might be ratified. All the things that the Lord has shown us. You know, sometimes you read it and you're like, I'm thinking that God is saying this, but Lord, ratify it. Like, let Cheryl say, any, meeny, meeny. Or, you know, let Cheryl say it. You know you've done this because I've done this. Like, Lord, let Brian say it. And he's even my husband. I could have told him before, but I didn't because I want to hear it from the Lord. Let Debbie Philangus say it. You know, I have these, you know, just Lord, ratify it. Ratify it. God has so much for us this year as we magnify Jesus. He wants to magnify himself in your life that he might bring you into the greatest riches of his presence. We live with so much less than what God has for us because we leave Jesus at a distance and we miss the details. So let's magnify the Lord together. May the Lord bless you and guide you. May he open up your understanding that you might perceive the things that you read. May the Lord fill you with such joy as you read his word that you'll overflow and be writing words of praise. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you, energize you, and give you a passion that you've never experienced before for him and his presence and his word. May you go out with joy and be led forth with peace. May your mountains become plains before you, and not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God.
The gospel means good news.
Jesus didn't come with edicts and regulations. He came with the good news that he died so that our sins may be forgiven and that we could enter into all the blessings God has for us. Luke wrote to let the whole world know the certainty of this good news. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll see the angelic announcement of the coming Savior and how this message was received. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.